Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Albin Hears. Father Peter is the founder of Uncut Mountain Press and the rector of the parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in a small village in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. In this podcast, Father Peter shares with us his 10 years of experience of living the faith and serving the church in Greece. Here's Father Peter.
In the symbol of faith, which the Orthodox Christian confesses at every divine liturgy, and in which he confesses his faith in the Holy Trinity, he also confesses his faith in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And it is this dogma, this faith of the Orthodox Christian, which in our day and age is perhaps more than any other aspect of our faith under attack, or just plainly misunderstood, misapplied, and in great need of clarification. We, as pastors, as teachers, and as bishops, must struggle to address this issue in our day and age properly from every perspective in a balanced way, because it is under attack by a variety of ideologies and movements in our day in deceptive and difficult to understand ways for the average believer. So in this program and in programs to follow, we're going to address an aspect of this dogma, and we're going to do it, however, from, so to speak, a negative perspective. That is, we're going to talk about a heresy which undermines this teaching and this faith. Now, it is properly called a heresy, although many don't understand it as a heresy. And what I'm talking about, and what we're going to talk about again in the next few programs, is the heresy of philetism. That is often called by most people ethnicism, placing one's ethnic identity above the faith and one's identity as an Orthodox Christian. And in today's program, we're going to discuss what philetism is not, first of all, because oftentimes in discussions between Orthodox Christians, the terms are not defined, and so not much progress is made in understanding the issue properly. And we're also going to try to define the term and what exactly it is. And in the following programs, we'll get more into detail, especially about how this heresy affects the church here in Greece. And hopefully that will help people abroad better understand its effects on the life of the church there, seeing how it affects the church here and the roots of the problem. Now, philetism, as we said, we're going to discuss what it is not. Philetism is not the love of one's country or homeland. It is not patriotism. Philetism is not the same thing as patriotism. Patriotism, loving one's country, one's homeland, one's people, is perfectly good and fine and accepted by the church. In fact, there are many saints who are quite patriotic and quite lovers of their homeland, even defending their homeland against invaders, against non-believers. And so certainly philetism is not loving one's people, one's country, one's homeland. And there's nothing wrong with that. And so when people express great love for their homeland and their country, one should not misunderstand them and confuse their love for something which it is not, and it is philetism. Now, philetism is also not a strong, healthy self-identity. That is, as a Greek or Russian or Serbian or American, it's perfectly good and healthy to have a proper self-identity. I am a part of this people, which calls themselves Hellenes or Russians or Serbians or what it might be. And I'm very happy to be a part of this group, a part of this nation. And certainly we have the example of the Jewish people, the people of God in the Old Testament. They certainly were not shy about their identity and about expressing their identity as the people of God. Philetism is not having reservations about multinational unions, globalization, European unions, North American unions, international groups which seemingly subvert local governments. Philetism is not even the desire to get out of these groups. That is, it is not to be seen as something negative. In fact, the church has always held a somewhat reserved and even negative stance toward such developments, seeing in them precursors of the ascent of the man of iniquity, the Antichrist. So philotism is not a zeal for one's autonomy, the country's autonomy, from these multinational international organizations. There's nothing all that virtuous in uniting the nations under one government. It's not something that the church should see automatically as something good, but actually one can and should be reserved toward these developments, which we're seeing in our day, ever-increasing amounts of effort to bring about unions of nations and states and economies. One need not be all that excited, even could even be reserved in their approach to these issues, and it certainly is not a question of philotism or a bad ethnic identity. Now, philotism is also not wanting to maintain one's own traditions, one's customs, one's ethnic traditions. Church has always supported that and encouraged that, even if that means for those who've gone abroad, who no longer live in their homeland. There certainly is nothing bad or negative or reason to fear keeping and maintaining one's own traditions and customs. Now, what is philotism then? If it is not all that, what is it? Well, it is placing all of that, which we've said, the love of one's country, the strong, healthy identity, wanting to maintain ethnic traditions, it's placing all of that above and beyond and first before the church, above the church, before the church, as a criteria for how the church is viewed, as the overarching identity of one, to the detriment of his identity as an Orthodox Christian, such that his decisions and his desires and his policies, let's say if one's government policies, are defined first by their ethnic identity and their ethnic needs and desires, to the detriment or in complete indifference to the church and the church's teaching. This is philotism. Philotism is, again, placing one's worldly identity, as a pilgrim in this world, above his identity as a member of the kingdom of heaven, as a baptized Christian who is no longer a member of this world first and foremost, but is a member of the kingdom of heaven. And we have the words of the Apostle Paul, which we all, I'm sure, know, but which is good to recall. There is neither Greek nor Jew, neither Jew nor Greek, rather, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And just before that, he says, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Clearly, the apostle is teaching us that having been baptized, having become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, our identity as a Greek, a Russian, American, or whatever, a Jew, is no longer has the priority, but is secondary, and should not be an obstacle, and should not obscure our vision and our understanding of life as an Orthodox Christian. We are all of Christ, and this is our identity first and foremost. And so, if we assert our identity as a Greek or an American to the detriment of our identity as an Orthodox Christian, we are in the delusion of philotism. We are in delusion. We are not in the Spirit of God. Let me also talk about other aspects of philotism, which need a little explanation. Now, philotism can also be understood to be the merging of two, that is our two identities, of our worldly identity, our identity as a pilgrim in this world, and our identity as a member of the kingdom of God, without distinction, confusing the two, without proper ordering, confusing the roles and the places, such that the church becomes an instrument, a tool for the advancement of our ethnic identity, our ethnic goals, our nation's goals, and the church is then seen by others as a part of one's ethnic identity and not as the kingdom of God on earth and a place for all peoples and all nations. Fanaticism is also making orthodoxy a part, a subservient part, of a nation's social agenda and mechanisms, putting it, that is, to the service of the nation when the nation is no longer informed by orthodox principles, putting it to the service of the nation and not the nation to the service of the church, that is, to the service of the spiritual life of the people. In fact, in a proper ordering of things, the nation should be at the service of the church. That is, it should be working toward the spiritual betterment and salvation of the people and of the world. And their policies, their laws, their beliefs, the beliefs of the government, the laws of the people should express Orthodox Christian teachings on the nature of man in the world. Fanaticism is also, and this addresses an issue of that is really particularly difficult for us abroad. Fanaticism is also insisting that the elements of one's ethnic identity, such as one's language, well, basic element of one's identity, be maintained, used, even if this means undermining the Catholicity of the Church and the apostolicity of the Church, the evangelization of the nations, her mission to the world. Let me say that again. If one insists that the language be preserved in the face of knowing that this is going to damage, undermine, eliminate the mission of the Church to the world, well, then we're placing our identity and our language, which is a part of our identity, above the mission of the Church. And this can rightly be called philatism. Now, this last issue is a bit touchy and difficult and does need a great amount of discernment because one's language is not easily changed and certainly cannot be changed from one day to another. And in fact, in the history of Orthodox mission, Greek language especially, but also the Russian language in the missions to the far east, and to even to Alaska, but more in the ancient missions and in today's missions to Africa, the Greek language has actually been used long after the first missionary arrived. That is, it was seen as a tool to properly communicate and make a transition from the mission and the missionaries to the local church, such that it is, I think, rightly seen as an imperative of the missionary to teach at least the priests, the monks, the bishops, and other missionaries the Greek language so that they can properly understand the theological and spiritual terms of the faith. And that they would therefore, having understood that, having entered into the meaning, which is very difficult sometimes to communicate in languages which are not as developed and not as precise as the Greek language, the fathers wrote in, at least because the fathers wrote in this language, it became such a depository of meaning and with precision. This is seen as a tool, a missionary tool, that they communicate the faith to the leaders of the church, and therefore the proper Orthodox understanding is embedded in the mission. And in fact, in Russia and other mission places that the Greek missionaries went to, long after the first missionary arrived, Greek bishops speaking Greek and others, missionaries and monks, were in Russia working and speaking and teaching in Greek. So it is not something that one can expect to change from one day to the next. And there are cases, there are exceptions in which, for instance, in monasteries, it is important that the monk undergo the obedience of learning the Greek language so that he might better obtain an understanding of the monastic life. And that is, you know, be able to read the monastic sources in their original language. But having put aside these exceptions, if on a basic parish level, in a place, missionary setting such as America, Canada, Australia, one insists on using their language, their ethnic identity in this way to the detriment of the growth and the mission of the church, well, it's hard to see why this should not be called philetism. Now, philetism is not just the putting on a personal level, the putting above of one's ethnic identity above the church, but it is also becoming the church institutionally being embedded in the nation's life in such a way that the mission of the church is obscured. And what I'm talking about is that the institutions of the church, the patriarchates, the archbishoprics of the church, have oftentimes been so closely associated with the interests of the state that over time the people themselves can no longer think of the church and the institution of the church as something separate from the nation, such that even if it means that it is to the detriment of the church, we see that the people support institutions which are no longer serving the interests of the church because they represent their ethnic identity and harken back to the past and past events which are so closely associated with the nation's identity. Now, this is an issue which we're going to discuss in the next program. I'm just going to leave you with one or two thoughts until then, and then we'll go into greater detail because this really is an aspect of the church here in Greece that one needs to understand, and it will better help us abroad understanding how things came to be. I give only the example of the Patriarchate of Constantinople. The Patriarchate served the nation of Greeks, the Greek people, through the very difficult times of Turkish domination, not only religiously, but also politically. That is, the patriarch was appointed by the Sultan to not only lead the people religiously or spiritually, but also to administrate even the courts of law and all the issues surrounding the administration of the Greek people. In fact, not only just the Greek people, but even the Orthodox people, because the Turkish authorities, the separated people by religion, not by ethnic identity. And so all the Orthodox were under not only the religious, the spiritual, but also the worldly or governmental authority of the Patriarchate. Such that today, when Greek people think of the Patriarchate, they have just as much the national role played by the Patriarchate in mind as the spiritual role and the spiritual duties of the Patriarchate, such that today, even a non-believing Greek or a Greek that is really not that pious, he might react quite violently to an attack on the Patriarchate or some kind of negative comments about the Patriarchate, not because he cares especially about the role, the spiritual role of the Patriarchate in the world, but because he identifies himself with and the Patriarchate in his mind is identified with the history and the identity of the Greek nation as a whole. So we see here just this one instance, but it's replayed again and again in Greek society, that there really is not any clear definition where the institution of the Patriarchate, the historical role it played for the people of Greece and the Orthodox peoples, where that ends and where the spiritual mission begins. And when those two come into conflict, well, which is going to take precedence? Oftentimes, it is not the latter, but the former. And today, in the Church of Greece, in the Church as a whole, this confusion of roles and the priority that the spiritual has above the material, the worldly, the governmental, the ethnic, has caused great damage to the mission of the Church and a great confusion in the minds of the faithful. With that, I leave you and this program until next time.
You've been listening to Postcards from Greece with Father Peter Alban Hears, founder of Uncut Mountain Press and rector of the Parish of the Holy Prophet Elias in the mountains outside of Thessalonica, Greece. This is a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.